The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show. My name is Mike Alonji, here flying solo with you guys this afternoon. Following a New England Patriots loss, they fall 26-20 in overtime to the New York Jets. And this was a big one. The Patriots fall, still need another win to clinch home field advantage. They had a chance to clinch it this afternoon, couldn't get it done. New York Jets, on the other hand, still firmly in playoff contention. Pittsburgh Steelers lose this afternoon, which means the New York Jets with the win are now in the sixth seed as the final wild card team in the playoffs. And they now control their own destiny with the game coming up against the Buffalo Bills next week. A lot of things to talk about in this game. One of the most bizarre calls I think I've ever seen in my life. On the overtime coin toss, Matthew Slater, Patriots win the coin toss, elect to kick off to the New York Jets. Not entirely sure. It looked like there was a lot of confusion on the field. Matthew Slater, what I'm thinking, because you heard him, they showed on the telecast, they showed the replay, and Matthew Slater clearly said, we're going to kick off. So he definitely had the idea that the Patriots were going to kick to the Jets. On the other hand, it looked like he thought that he would be able to choose which direction the Patriots kicked off in. That's what I think he was questioning the referee about, was I thought we could kick off in a certain direction. Maybe they were going with the wind or something like that. I'm really not sure what the thought process behind that whole thing was, but Patriots win the coin toss in overtime after coming all the way back to tie the game at 20-all. And, man, it just, they kick off the Jets, a big 48-yard catch from a Nunwa. It gets him down into the red zone. Quick running play. Fade to Eric Decker in the back of the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. And the Jets walk away with a 26-20 to win. I mean, there are a lot of things to talk about in this game. Obviously, it wouldn't be a Patriots game if we didn't have injuries to talk about. Sebastian Vollmer goes down with a leg injury, carted off the field in the first quarter. And that's one of the last things you want to see is one of your best offensive linemen, Sebastian Vollmer, your left tackle, going down with an injury that requires him to be carted off the field. So, you know, that's a big loss. You know, the offensive line was decimated after that. Tom Brady took a beating all day. His numbers, you know, don't look terrible. 22 of 31. He only threw for 231 yards, a touchdown and an interception. He was only sacked twice, but he had to have been hit. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he had to have been hit upwards of 10, 15 times. He was taking a beating the entire game. And, you know, the offensive line was shaken after that. Adrian Waddle comes in at left tackle for the most part for Sebastian Vollmer. He ends up leaving with a shoulder injury, and he's replaced by Cameron Fleming. So, I mean, you want to talk about a patchwork offensive line. This is a patchwork offensive line, the definition of a patchwork offensive line. I mean, you know, the Patriots, as far as running the ball, we saw them run the ball a lot more than we did in the first meeting between the two. First meeting, Tom Brady throws the ball 54 times. I just mentioned he only throws it 31 times in this game. 22 rushing attempts as a team. And, you know, we saw Steven Jackson, who only had 7 carries for 15 yards. Brandon Bolden, 9 rushes for 30 yards. You know, we didn't see a lot of, you know, big running plays in this game. We weren't expecting that. I'm sure nobody was expecting that. The Jets have a stout run defense. They always have. You know, a lot of rushes to the outside, a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of misdirections, a lot of things like that. Those were really where the Patriots got their positive rush yards throughout the game. But it was an inconsistent game. It was a very, you know, sloppy game on offense by the Patriots. You know, didn't score a point. They had 3 points at halftime, down 10-3 at the half. And you know, that's just very not Patriot-like. Patriots were 1-for-9 on third down in this game. Just not executing at all. And, it's the injuries. You know, Scott Chandler was active today, and we did not see him at all in this game. So that's kind of an interesting, you know, development. Rob Gronkowski ends up with 4 catches for 86 yards, but he really wasn't much of a factor in this game. You know, the best game out of anybody was Keyshawn Martin, who had 7 catches for 68 yards. But really, nobody else got it going. You know, James White, who has had a great past couple weeks, he had a big touchdown catch to tie the game at under 2 minutes left to go, in the fourth quarter. Ran a great route, split into the middle, got the dump off pass for the quick 10-yard touchdown. But that was really the highlight of his day. He didn't get much done. And, you know, the Patriots really couldn't move the ball against the solid Jets defense. On the other side, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick throws for 296 yards, and 3 touchdowns, including the game winner to Eric Decker in overtime. Chris Ivory with 11 rushes for 38 yards, but Bilal Powell rushed 7 times for 56 yards. As a team, the New York Jets rushed for 143 yards on the Patriots defense, which is also very unpatriot-like for this time of year. The Patriots have had a fantastic run defense for most of the season. And once again, you know, the Patriots had issues with the bigger wide receivers that the New York Jets have. Brandon Marshall just had an absolute monster game, 8 catches for 115 yards and 2 touchdowns. We mentioned Anunua, who's a big guy, had 2 catches for 69 yards, including that 48-yarder. And Eric Decker had the game-winning catch. He only had 3 catches in the game for 47 yards. But, you know, it was a game of ups and downs. The Patriots, you know, as I said, started off really poorly, didn't really make anything happen in the first half, only finished the first half with 3 points. But, you know, outscored the Jets 17-10 in the second half. So come all the way back to tie the game, and then at the end, the defense just can't hold on. And it's a really tough loss. Patriots really needed this one. They would have locked up the home field advantage throughout the playoffs with the win. They also would have all but completely knocked the Jets out of playoff contention if they had lost. Jets don't hold any of the tiebreakers with either the Steelers or the Chiefs. So, but then the Jets caught a break. Pittsburgh loses to Baltimore this afternoon, and the Jets grab a win, and now the Jets firmly hold on to that number 6 seed with a game advantage over the Pittsburgh Steelers with 1 week left to go. So, and the Jets have a winnable game next week against Buffalo. So it's a really tough loss for the Patriots on a couple different fronts. You know, obviously the loss of Sebastian Vollmer is huge. It's a tough game. Tough loss, tough decision making. I'm not sure what happened with that Matthew Slater call. I'm still baffled by it. I'm sitting here trying to figure it out in my head. And I have no idea what happened. Just to remind you guys, you can give us a follow on Twitter, twitter.com/CLNS Radio, @CLNS Radio, facebook.com/CLNS Fans as well. This episode is brought to you by Harry's Razors. You can wake up to Harry's Razors. This time of year, I know a lot of guys like growing out their beards. Not my thing. Like to keep a clean shaven face. Start your day with Harry's. You know, wake up with a better shave. You're going to pay 40, 50 bucks at the drugstore for those razors that you're using. Go to Harry's. We got a first-time offer for you guys. $5 off your first purchase of a starter set with the coupon code CELTICS, CELTICS. Enter that code, CELTICS, at checkout. You get a Harry's starter set for just $10. A month's worth of shaving for just $10. When I just said you're going to spend $40, $50 at the drugstore getting worse quality razors than you'll get from Harry's. So be sure to go to harrys.com, enter the promo code CELTICS at checkout, and you'll get a starter set for just $10. So also to remind you guys, we are taking your phone calls on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show. I'm here by myself, so feel free to call in and give me someone to talk to. Let's talk about the offense. Really a poor, as I said, poorly executed game. Tom Brady, his final numbers look fine. As I mentioned, 230 yards, a touchdown. He did throw an interception. It was a complete miscommunication with Rob Gronkowski. Gronkowski just kept running a go route. It looked like Darrell Revis knew the route was coming, sat on it, and just had the easy interception. Ball was thrown right into Revis's chest for Brady's seventh interception of the season. So, they just really couldn't get anything going today. Obviously, you're missing Amendola. Scott Chandler, who was active today, didn't play. A lot of guys. Julian Edelman, obviously inactive. Josh Klein, your starting right guard, inactive. So you were having some offensive line troubles going in. You come into the game. Sebastian Vollmer gets injured. And, the offensive line gets absolutely demolished all game long by this really, really good Jets defensive line. The Jets linebacking core had a huge game. David Harris, who was notoriously a Patriots killer, he was all over the place, just running roughshod over this offensive line, penetrating, getting in there, and making things happen. It was tough to watch. It was the Patriots offensive line was clearly overmatched, just had no answer. Tom Brady was, forced out of the pocket, throwing the ball at receivers' feet, couldn't step into his throws, was getting hit, knocked down on almost every single drop back. And look, it's looked like this for a couple weeks now. We've been seeing the Patriots' offensive line, slowly, slowly. At the beginning of the year, we're marveling at them. Wow, look at how good they're rotating all these different guys, and they're staying fresh. They're working as a unit. They look so good. And then you lose one guy, and then you lose, Solder for the season, and then you get Stork back, but then you lose Vollmer, and you lose this guy, and you lose Klein, and it's all of a sudden you have two rookies in Trey Jackson and Shaq Mason starting at your guard spots. Cameron Fleming, who is a backup tackle at best, playing left tackle for you. They clearly have no confidence in Marcus Cannon, who stayed at right tackle the entire time. They did not move him to left tackle. They weren't going to have that happen. You saw Adrian Waddle in this game, who got handled a couple times. Young guy. It was a tough game for the offensive line. And, obviously, it was going up against a really, really good defensive line. We knew coming into this game that the Jets' pass rush, front seven, was solid. Their secondary was solid. They had one of the better defenses in the entire league. We knew it was going to be tough coming in. And, man, was it tough. Patriots ended up figuring it out, though, in the second half. They came out. They started moving the ball. They scored 10 points in the third quarter to get right back in the game at 17-13. Give up a touchdown. But they're right back in it. James White with the late touchdown ties it up 20-20. And, we go into the overtime, and I'm still sitting here. They just showed it on the TV again where Matthew Slater is gesturing like he wants. He says, we're going to kick, but he's pointing this way. He's pointing, we want to kick off this way, is basically what he's saying. And really, the referee doesn't appear to give him any sort of an explanation or anything. He just says, no, you said you're going to kick off. And he asks the Jets which direction they'd like to receive from. And I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. The guy, you pick whether you're going to kick or receive, and then the other team decides which end of the field they want to go into it. So I'm thinking, what's the problem here? It looks like Matthew Slater didn't really know what the rule was, or didn't know, or just didn't have the right thought process in his head. Maybe Belichick told him to take the wind. Maybe that's what he said. Maybe Belichick said to him before the kickoff, I want you to say, we're going to take the wind. We're going to go this direction. This is the direction we want them to go in. But instead, Slater says, we're going to kick off. And then thinks he can say, we're going to kick off this way. Maybe it was a miscommunication. Maybe Slater didn't know the rule. Maybe it was a complete brain fart on everybody's part. The way the rules are set up in overtime now, you score a touchdown, the game's over. I would take the ball. You just scored a touchdown to tie the game, a minute and a half earlier. You have a ton of momentum on your side. I would think you would just take the ball and give it a shot, try to score. You got Tom Brady on your team. You know, and they decided against it. They go, they kick the ball off to the Jets. And then one huge 48-yard catch by Quincy Enunwa, and they're sitting in the red zone, sitting pretty. They already have their guaranteed field goal pretty much. Now they just got to punch it into the end zone if they can. Two plays later, you know, deep fade to Eric Decker in the right corner of the end zone. And, you know, once again, Patriots defensive backs have issues with the Jets' bigger wide receivers. Eric Decker just makes a nice over-the-shoulder catch and ends the game. Ah, man, I'm really interested to see, you know, I have the Twitter up right now. I'm just kind of waiting to see once the quotes start rolling in. I'm anxious to see what Belichick's thought process was. Not that he'll probably say anything. What Matthew Slater's thought process was. That's really starting to confuse me. All right, I have Adam Schefter right now. Just posted a transcript of what was said. And it says, the tweet is just captioned, "The exchange that could help send the Jets to the playoffs." And the picture is of the transcript, and it says, Cleet Blakeman, who is the official, says, "Heads is the calls." He flips the coin and says, "It's heads. You want to kick?" And Slater goes, "We want to kick that way." And then Slater says, "Hey, we won. Don't we get to choose?" And then Blakeman said, with his microphone off, "You elected to kick." So it looks like there was really some confusion going on with this kind of exchange between Cleet Blakeman. I'm not sure why he asked in the first place, "You want to kick?" Like, why would he ask that? Why wouldn't he just say, "What would you, you know, would you like to kick or receive? Like, what would you, do you want the ball?" Like, I thought, you know. And then why did Slater say, "We want to kick that way?" I'm just like, I'm looking at this and I'm like, what the hell happened? Very confusing. I'm anxious, as I said, I'm anxious to see what. Yeah, see, and you know, I've got all these tweets coming up. You know, the winner of the coin toss can choose to kick, receive, or which direction to go in. And Slater chose the kick and said, "We want to go this way," which you can't do. So it looks like Slater didn't know the rule. It's very, very confusing. I'm sure we'll hear all about it. Hopefully Matthew Slater will, you know, kind of explain himself in the post-game interviews. And, you know, I'll monitor the Twitter throughout the show, and I'll see if I can clarify it for you guys, because I'm just as confused as I'm sure all of you are. And I'm sure Matthew Slater is just as confused, you know? I'm not sure. It looks like a mistake. Looks like a mistake by either Matthew Slater, Bill Belichick, or both. So, or possibly the official, but I think the official actually got it right. Yeah, that's tough, man. That's a tough way to lose a game, to end up having the confusion like that, end up kicking off. It's shades of that Thanksgiving game with Jerome Bettis. Remember when they flipped the coin up and he was like, "Oh, we want heads," but it was actually tails. And then it was they ended up changing the rule where you had to call whether you want heads or tails before they even flipped the coin. So shades of old Thanksgiving Day memories there for some of us. But just to remind you guys, if in case you didn't know, CLNS Radio, the CLNS Beat podcast series, and Audible.com are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, sports, periodicals, anything your little heart desires, they have at Audible.com. You can simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and claim your free audiobook now. So, you know, we haven't really mentioned much on the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots in this game. As I mentioned a little bit when I was running through the box score here, that, you know, the Patriots, you know, gave up 285 yards through the air, 143 yards on the ground. Not really making much sense. The defense has been so good this year. Chris Ivory, listen, he's a good running back, but they largely held him in check. It was Bilal Powell who really killed them in both the running game and the screen game. I mean, Bilal Powell had 5 catches for 34 yards, which doesn't sound like much, but if you add it to the 56 rushing yards he had, you know, he made the most of his touches. He averaged, you know, over 6 yards a touch, which is actually over 7 yards a touch if you look at it. So, you know, the Jets, give them all the credit in the world. They ran a really good offensive game plan in this one. They ran a lot of screens, a lot of quick outs, a lot of short crosses that just had the Patriots one step behind. They got their athletes out on the edge, you know, Marshall, Powell, you know, Ridley, Ivory, all these guys. They got them out in space, and that big offensive line of the Jets really made some things happen. They blocked well downfield. You know, they did a really good job of handling the Patriots' pass rush. I mean, the Patriots only got one sack in this game. It was a huge one. It was a big strip sack by Jabal Sheard at the beginning of the game that was recovered by Jamie Collins for the Patriots' first touchdown. At the beginning of the second half. And, you know, that we're looking at that looks like a huge turning point in the game. And the Patriots really just couldn't get anything else going from that off that pass rush. As I said, only finished with one sack in the game. And, you know, for a team that leads the league or is tied for the league lead with the Denver Broncos in sacks on the season with, you know, I think it might be 50 sacks as a team this year, you know, only getting through for one sack on Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's tough. Patriots had a lot of problems with the big wide receivers of the New York Jets. Eric Decker, 6'3". Brandon Marshall, 6'3". Big, long, rangy guys, strong guys who can go up and get the football. And look, that's been a problem for the Patriots corners this year. The only real big guys they've faced were these two wide receivers, Marshall and Decker. Malcolm Butler goes up against Demaryius Thomas, the Broncos, and handles him easily because Demaryius Thomas is soft and can't go up and get the football. Brandon Marshall can go up and get the football. Eric Decker will go get the football. They are big, strong wide receivers, and, you know, Patriots defensive backs had some real issues with that. Justin Coleman, who just returned from a hand injury, he's missed the past 3 or 4 weeks. He ends up leaving the game with a head injury, so you're down another corner. Leonard Johnson got taken advantage of in this game by, you know, Quincy Enunwa. Kembrell Tompkins was all over Leonard Johnson and was just running circles around him. It was a poor game by the secondary for sure. And, you know, there were times when you're looking and you're saying, okay, the defense is playing well. They force a couple three and outs in a row even. They start gaining some momentum, and then all of a sudden they start giving up these chunk plays. They start giving up all this stuff, whatever. And, you know, Jordan Richards, who, you know, plays well and can really tackle. He's a really good tackler, something I noticed in this game. But he ends up leaving the game with a shoulder injury. Now, he was Devin McCourty's replacement in the or maybe Patrick Chung's replacement, I guess, in the more of a run game type guy. The starting safeties today with both Chung and McCourty out were Daron Harmon and Jordan Richards. Richards ends up leaving the game in the fourth quarter with a shoulder injury. Daron Harmon, you know, didn't really show up much on the stat sheet and ended the game with 6 total tackles. You know, not a great game by really anybody on the defense. You know, Jamie Collins, obviously, with the fumble recovery for a touchdown, that would be the highlight of the day for the defense. And then, you know, if you want to look at it, the Patriots only scored 13 points on offense. That touchdown didn't come until less than 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You know, all around, it's a very, very unimpressive game, you know, by the Patriots. And this can't continue. I mean, if you're losing guys, I mean, I understand you're going to lose some guys to injury, and you're losing all these guys. And I'm sorry, I just got distracted. I got tweets coming up right now. Matthew Slater said the Patriots planned a kick. The confusion was on who got to choose the direction of the kick. Patriots wanted to kick the other way. Matthew Slater said he checked with Bill Belichick multiple times to make sure the choice was to kick. That's coming from Phil Perry of NECN. So, look, it looks like there was some real confusion out there. No one really knew what. Yeah, no one knew what to do. No one knew that. That looks like a real mistake on the part of Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots right there. Man, Matthew Slater, that's surprising. Special teams captain. Guy who's been with this team forever. It's almost shocking to see that kind of a decision come down like that. But listen, whatever happens, happens. Definitely a tough way to lose it, though. Just to remind you guys, you can always give us a call on the FanDuel phone lines at 929-477-2386. They'll be open up throughout the rest of the show. And, you know, just to remind you guys, in case you don't know, FanDuel is the number one place for daily fantasy sports. We have a special offer for you. If you guys go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use my code Celtics. You can sign up now, and it's for a special free offer. That free offer is, if you enter a FanDuel league and don't win, FanDuel will refund your money, any contest you want, up to $10. Just make a deposit, choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. And now, sounds pretty good, right? So the only way to get this one-time exclusive no-lose offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use the promo code Celtics, C-E-L-T-I-C-S. That's promo code Celtics. Anyone can play. So go to FanDuel.com, use the CLNS promo code Celtics, and listen, don't forget to use that code Celtics. You'll be able to get money back if you lose. No problems whatsoever. Promo code Celtics at FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So, as I mentioned, phone lines are open. 929-477-2386. The FanDuel phone lines. Taking your calls throughout the rest of the show. So, I just still can't get over this call. Even if you're thinking, because now I'm thinking, okay, the Patriots are deciding that they want the win direction, right? Belichick says they wanted to kick off. They felt better having the defense on the field first. Okay, why? The Patriots, you just drove down the field, all the way down the field on the New York Jets, a great defense, and scored a touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go in the game. And then you decide to take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands? What kind of a thought process is that? I just don't understand. Now, I'm not generally one to question Bill Belichick, you know, for obvious reasons. But look, that's not the call you make. The Jets' offense has been, you know, just as hot as your offense throughout the game. Hotter than your offense. They played a great game, the Jets' offense. I just mentioned they ran for 143 yards against you, throws for almost 300 against you, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. So what makes you think that you had a better opportunity with the defense on the field first? If they score a touchdown, the game's over. You at least might as well go out, try to score. And if you can't, okay, now we trust the defense to get a stop. But why are you putting your defense in that position in the first place? To get the offense out there, you probably would have scored a touchdown. I don't want to be that guy who says, well, if this happened, this would have happened. I think you probably would have scored a touchdown. The Patriots' offense was on a roll. They had been moving the ball well for the past couple of drives before that, not just that final drive that ended in the James White touchdown. So I'm not in agreement with Bill Belichick. He just said it on his Patriots on the post game show press conference. Excuse me. I've got it on the TV on mute behind me. I'm looking at Twitter trying to figure out what the quotes are. You know, it says Matthew Slater is answering questions at his locker. I'm sure we'll get those in a moment. But look, this looks like it was just a bad decision all around. It's Belichick's decision. It looks like they were on the same page. Matt Slater said, "Listen, I checked with them several times. You want to kick off? You want to kick off? All right, we're kicking off." Maybe it was just a misunderstanding of the rule and saying, you know, they thought that they could kick off and choose the direction. That's never been the case. I've never, like, as always, okay, do you want to kick or receive? The team who wins the toss, you want to kick or receive? Okay, you want to do that. Okay, they look at the other team and go, okay, which direction would you like to go? And they choose that and say, okay. So I'm not entirely sure. Oh, my God. I just saw a tweet that came up and said, people are saying Belichick threw this game to get the Steelers kicked out of the playoffs. Are you freaking kidding me? You think Bill Belichick knew that the Steelers game was over in the middle of overtime? Come on. Get out of here with that ridiculousness. Anyway, it looks like it was just a misunderstanding of the rule or something, but someone made a mistake here. Someone made a mistake. That's clear. But as I mentioned, you know, Patriots probably didn't deserve to win this game anyway, to be honest with you. They played a terrible game. You know, the Jets defense really moved the ball whenever they wanted to. The Patriots couldn't get anything going on offense. They couldn't get any consistent stops on defense. I mentioned they made, you know, here they get a 3-and-out here, a 3-and-out there. But then they're also giving up these chunk plays. They gave up a field goal here, a field goal there, a touchdown here. And they just could never get really back into it until the very end of the game when they started getting some real momentum. They score with less than 2 minutes left, send it to overtime. They score with less than 2 minutes left. Then they get a stop because there was still, you know, a minute 50 left on the clock. They get a stop on defense, get the ball back with like 30 seconds left, take a knee and go to overtime, and then make one of the most bizarre calls I've ever seen. Now, I'm sitting here thinking, once the call is made and the Patriots kick off, I'm sitting there and going, okay, well, you know, I don't agree with the call. I'm not really sure what happened, but I don't think I agree with it. You got to take the ball. And then, sure, if it works, I'm sure people will say Belichick's a genius, but I think that was just a bad call. Why don't you just keep your hot offense on the field? You just scored less than 2 minutes ago. Get the ball back. Try to score. If you can't score, okay, get a stop on defense. Then you only need a field goal to win the game. So but that's not the way Belichick wanted to do it. He wanted to kick the ball off. I'm looking at these. They won. The Slater says there was no screw-up. They won the toss, and they thought they'd be able to choose the direction. Someone just wrote, well, that was an unconventional decision. That's saying the least. That was, man, kind of shocking when you think about it. But look, Belichick's made calls like that in the past. Against Denver, I mean, that was actually my original thought was, okay, they're taking the win, but, you know, I'm not sure how windy it was at MetLife today, but I don't know. I still think you keep the hot offense on the field, man. I still think you do. But, you know, obviously, Patriots don't feel the same way. Bill Belichick didn't feel the same way. He thought, look, get our defense out there, get a stop right away, then we'll only need a field goal to win the game. That's all well and good, but you need to get the stop first. And you hadn't been able to stop the Jets' offense for much of the day. They really got... Well, while they didn't really run all over you, they got the yards that they needed when they needed to get them. And, you know, Tom Brady doesn't look very happy walking off the podium right now. Didn't spend much time up there, as you can imagine. But, yeah, this is a tough one. I'm interested to see. I wish we had, you know, the quotes coming in here and, you know, all this stuff like that. I wish they already happened so we could kind of react to them, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, throughout the week what people are saying about the call and whether it was right or wrong or I think it was a bad call, man. I think you put the ball back in Tom Brady's hands. You won the toss. Put the ball back in Tom Brady's hands and let him drive you down and win you this game. You would have locked up home field no matter what throughout the season, throughout the postseason. I just don't agree with the call. Don't agree with the call. Just to let you guys know, in case you don't know, you can check us out at CLNS Radio's YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. CLNS Radio, as I'm sure you all know, is the best of written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. For the best audio-visual stuff, be sure to tune in to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel. As I just mentioned, www.youtube.com/CLNS Radio. You will get full-length, high-definition locker room interviews. You'll also get the Garden Report, which is our HD post-game show shot directly on the parquet floor at TD Garden. So you can subscribe there today, youtube.com/CLNS Radio. And also, just to remind you guys, you can also use the Grandstand app to do the Grandstand Celtics Locker Room Report. Now, for those of you who don't know, Grandstand is sports highlights from fans in the stands. On the new sports app, Grandstand, you can share your own Celtics highlights and watch other fans' videos straight from the crowd. You can download Grandstand on the App Store or at grandstand.me. So, look. Now the Patriots are faced with a very, very interesting set of decisions to make. Clearly, you have to play next week now. You have to win. If you win, you will still lock up the home field advantage unless the Broncos beat the Bengals tomorrow night. If the Broncos beat the Bengals, then, well, actually, the Patriots will still have to win because the Broncos own the tiebreaker over the Patriots, if that were the scenario. So, right now, Broncos have 4 losses. And the Bengals and Patriots both have 3 losses, with the Broncos and Bengals set to play tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. That is now a critical game. Patriots fans are now rooting for the Denver Broncos to win that game. And then, as long as the Patriots beat the Miami Dolphins in Week 17, home field advantage throughout the playoffs will be theirs. Now, the key is you got to beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins, you know, didn't play a great game today. Looking for the score right here. But they lost the Indianapolis Colts to the sorry Indianapolis Colts, 18-12 today. So they've pretty much given it up, basically in the tank at this point. Looking forward to next year. Then again, division game. We just saw today another division game. They're always closer. They're always down to the wire. This is probably going to be the biggest game of the season for the Dolphins, who at 5-10, you know, have no shot at anything, you know, obviously. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, they still have dangerous players. You know, Tannehill threw for over 300 yards today, and he was also sacked 6 times. You know, they got, you know, some big-time wide receivers in Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker. Kenny Stills can beat you a couple times here or there. Lamar Miller is a really good running back, receiver out of the backfield, stuff like that. So, you know, Miami does pose some issues. They obviously, you know, they don't have Cameron Wake anymore, but Olivier Vernon rushing the passer and Ndamukong Suh at defensive tackle. They got some solid players on both sides of the field, Brent Grimes at corner. So the Patriots have, you know, it looks like you got to play your guys now. We were all talking going in this game, well, if the Patriots beat the Jets, they lock up the home field advantage, they'll be able to rest everybody next week and the bye week, and then everyone will be fresh coming into the divisional playoff week. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now, guys like, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, Tom Brady, you know, all these guys that you can't really afford to lose, but could afford to rest if you had won this game, you'll now have to play most of, if not all of, this upcoming game against Miami in order to lock up that home field advantage. So, you know, you're still going to need some help. Don't forget, I mean, you need Denver to win tomorrow so that the Broncos and the Bengals, both have 4 losses, and then you have to beat Miami so you finish with 3 losses. Because you lose the tiebreaker to Denver. If, you know, Denver wins and you lose tomorrow, if Denver wins out, they win this week, they win next week. I believe next week they play San Diego. If they win this week and next week and you lose next week, the Broncos are the number 1 seed going into, you know, throughout the playoffs. And, you know, we've already seen what happens when you go into Denver. Things can happen. It could be snowing and you could muff a punt and lose the game. Chris Harper is back on the team, by the way, signed earlier this week after Leonard Hankerson was cut. So beware of him out there. You know, it's going to be an interesting decision to see who plays and who doesn't play. I think you need to play pretty much everybody. You know, if you're going to sit anybody, I'd say sit Gronk, but you can't really sit anybody because you need this win. This is not one of those let's cruise into the playoffs kind of wins. We've already locked everything up. You haven't locked up anything except a playoff berth right now. You know, you could still, the worst you could end up is the number two seed, but you really want that home field advantage. You have the bye. That's fine. The bye is what you really, really, really need with guys like Edelman and McCourty and all those guys out. But the home field advantage would just, I mean, the Patriots don't lose at home, really. So that would be, you know, if you lock up that home field advantage, then you're really, they really set. So, yeah, you know, it's tough. It's going to be tough, but you got to play these guys. You know, Brady's going to have to, Brady would have played the first half. If they had locked us up, Brady would have played the first half against Miami anyway. He always does. He always goes out there and plays. But he might have to play the entire game this week, this upcoming week against Miami. Gronk might have to play the whole week. Dante Hightower might have to play the entire week. Whoever you have as an offensive lineman left in the world, they're probably going to have to play next week. Not exactly the position you wanted to be in. And, you know, this is normally a game that the Patriots win. I'm looking back on it and I'm saying, wow, the Patriots, you know, they fall behind. They're down 10-3 at the half. They come all the way back, tie the game 20-20 with less than 2 minutes left. You know, the Patriots win that game. 9 times out of 10, Patriots win that game. Even if it goes to overtime, they carry that momentum over and they win that game. They just couldn't get it done tonight. One of the most bizarre decisions I've ever seen on a football field. Matthew Slater wins the coin toss, chooses to kick. Very, very confusing set of circumstances. The way everything unfolded, the way Cleet Blakeman handled it, the official standing there saying, "Do you want to kick?" And, you know, it looks like it was a mistake by Matthew Slater and Bill Belichick, honestly, because he said that he wants to kick that way. That's not how it works. You decide whether you want to kick or you want to receive, or you decide what direction you want to go in. So the right decision for Slater, if they were choosing the wind, would have been to say, "We want to go that way. Not we want to kick that way, but we want to head that way." So they choose the direction not to kick or receive. That would have been the right way to handle it. You know, the subtle difference when he said, "We want to kick that way." You know, Cleet Blakeman heard you want to kick off, and he took it and ran with it. So, looks like a little bit of confusion out there on the 50-yard line. But just to remind you guys, TickIQ, the cheapest tickets to sporting events and concerts, whether it's events or games at Gillette Fenway the Garden, your answer is the TickIQ app. This app is so great. You can search, find the cheapest tickets for all events all across the U.S. Really easy to use. Can swipe all upcoming games, receive updates on prices, see your seat before you buy it. All sorts of great stuff on TickIQ. You can head over to the App Store and download it for free. You can simply search TickIQ. That's TickIQ. The TickIQ app, excuse me, for some of the cheapest tickets to sporting events and concerts anywhere around. And if you act now and use the code Boston, you'll get 10% off all TN tickets listings. So check out TickIQ. You can head to the App Store. Simply search TickIQ today. We've got a lot of stuff to think about over the next week. Who's going to be able to play? I've got half a mind to let Julian Edelman take some snaps in the game against Miami. Now, the original prognosis was he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks, excuse me, with that broken foot. And if I'm not mistaken, this week would have been the 6-week mark. Now, for those of you who have been following the Patriots closely, you know Julian Edelman has been back at practice over the past about week and a half on a limited basis, granted, but still out there practicing, still out there running. A lot of people out there saying he looks pretty good. I'm one of those guys who hates, you know, the whole rest the guy for a ton of time and then let him come back in. I think the rust is a real thing, the rust factor, if you will. And if you throw Julian Edelman into a divisional playoff game without having played a snap of live action football in almost two entire months, that's tough to deal with. That's tough to adjust to. You know, you hear all these guys saying, well, the game just gets so much faster from college to pro, from preseason to regular season, from regular season to postseason. The game just continues to get faster and faster and faster because the players are better and better and better, obviously. So I have half a mind to throw him out there for at least maybe get him out there for 10, 15, 20 snaps max. And let Edelman get some run. Let him catch a ball. Let him take a hit. Let him make a couple cuts on that foot and see how it really feels at full speed. If he feels a twinge, if he feels a pull, if it's not quite right, you pull him out and you say, you're sitting down until we need you the most for the playoffs. If not, let him get loose. Let him get that eye for the game. He's one of those guys. You always see him running the routes. He finds the zones. He gets open. That comes with getting reps and playing at full speed. Practice speed is one thing. He's not even practicing fully at this point. So he's really not getting that run. So maybe he's not ready. But if he is ready, I think you throw him out there. You know, the worst thing that can happen is you lose him again. And look, at the rate you're losing guys, man, that would be a tough blow. I just think you got to get him some run. I think you got to get him a little acclimated to the speed of the game, you know, as the season comes to a close. You don't want him to get – then you give him, you know, the 10, 15, 20 snaps in the final week of the season. He gets a full week off. He can practice. They'll be able to practice him fully because they'll be like, oh, look, he played in the game. He felt good. Full practice for a week going into the divisional playoffs. And then you have a Julian Edelman who is more ready to play than he would have been if you sat him out for that entire time. So, and then, look, after that, Hightower is a guy that you're going to need. He's going to have to play next week. That's tough, but he's going to have to play this. He played the entire game this week. So, you know, looks like he's feeling better, and hopefully that continues. You know, Devin McCourty, he's a guy who you might want to rest him until the end of, you know, until the playoff time comes around. With that high ankle sprain, I'm sure he wouldn't be ready for next week anyway, but give him that extra week, that shouldn't hurt. You know, there's a lot of guys, man. There's a lot of guys you could have sat. If you had won this game, you could have sat Hightower. You could have sat, you know, Collins. You could have sat Gronk. You could have sat, you know, Brady for the second half. You could have sat a James White. You could have sat these guys. You could have, you know, really let Steven Jackson take a lot of snaps at running back next week against Miami. Something like that. You get these other guys a lot of opportunities in case you need them later on in the season. That's something we really didn't talk about so far in the show is Steven Jackson. We saw him today. He only had 7 rushes for 15 yards. Not an impressive debut, but you did see him. It looks like they're going to try to use him. They're going to try to get him, you know, involved in the run game. Had the second most touches behind Brandon Bolden's 9. 7 rushes, 15 yards, and his longest rush was 7 yards. So you can tell that he really wasn't moving the ball very well. Look, he hasn't taken a snap in the NFL all year long. I wasn't expecting him to rush for 50, 100 yards today. Wasn't expecting it at all. I'm just glad we saw him out there. It looks like they're definitely going to use him going forward. And, you know, that'll be a big boost, you know, to the team as a whole, having another, you know, pounding running back like a LeGarrette Blount type in that role. So just to let you guys know, CLNS Radio's been on. We've been going on 7 years strong now. Over 7 years, CLNS Radio's been offering you free exclusive content on all your favorite sports teams. Coming up in January 2016, CLNS Radio is celebrating the anticipation of our 5 millionth listener. And to usher in the new NHL, NBA seasons, things like that, CLNS Radio is having its biggest giveaway plans to date. Releasing our free mobile app on the Android and iOS app markets, CLNS Radio website has been optimized to be lightning fast. The equipment upgrades, more HD premium exclusive locker room content, like I mentioned at the Garden Report. But now we need your help. Bringing you all this stuff, guys, look, costs money. We don't do this, you know, we do this for free, but everything else costs money, you know what I mean? So show your support for CLNS Radio, our staff of volunteer writers and podcast hosts, such as myself. You can go to clnsradio.com/patrons and make a donation. No amount is too little. You can help keep CLNS Radio free for everybody. We'll give you free stuff if you donate. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. Just log on to clnsradio.com/patrons. You can donate in any amount. Be sure to check out all the rewards for donating. We give you different rewards for different things. We reward your generosity with prizes ranging from free game tickets to your favorite Boston sports team, to a Bill Russell autographed basketball, which is valued at over $1,000, to a designer CLNS Radio V-neck t-shirt, or a shiny insulated travel mug. So be sure to support CLNS Radio. Keep our programming free. You can head over to clnsradio.com/patrons and donate in any amount. And you'll possibly be able to take home a piece of Boston sports history if you grab, you know, that autographed basketball or other sorts of prizes like that. So once again, clnsradio.com/patrons. You can go and donate in any amount, whatever you please. It would be greatly appreciated by me and the rest of the CLNS Radio staff of writers and hosts. So be sure to do that now. You know, just kind of wrapping things up here. You know, Patriots lose 26-20, a tough loss in overtime. They come all the way back to tie the game, make a really bizarre call, you know, at the end of the game to kick off after they win the toss in overtime, and then they just give it up. They give up the big 48-yard catch on a quick out to Quincy Enunwa. Man, he got out around that corner, and it looked like Malcolm Butler – and I think it was Leonard Johnson. It was either Leonard Johnson or Logan Ryan, but whoever it was, two corners that were out there were three steps behind Enunwa. He was gone, and he got 48 yards up the field, gets them into the red zone. You know, a quick run by Ivory for a couple yards, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick hits Eric Decker in the corner of the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. 26-20 win for the Jets. Jets are now in the playoffs, holding on to the sixth seed, the final wild card spot. The one game ahead of Pittsburgh, who lost today to the Baltimore Ravens, 20-17. Patriots are now rooting for the Denver Broncos to beat Cincinnati tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. That would all but guarantee the Patriots. Well, the Patriots at that point would just need a win against Miami to lock up home field advantage throughout. And look, that's no guarantee, guys. We just lost, you know, Sebastian Vollmer is down and is probably going to miss significant time. When you get carted off the field, you generally don't get carted off and then just come back into the game the next week. That doesn't generally happen. So you just lost your best offensive lineman potentially for the rest of the season, you know, because the season's only, what, 6 or 7 weeks long now. Big-time leg injury like that gets rolled up on, gets carted off on the field. He might be gone for the remainder, so... A lot of issues. Now, look, if you get Edelman back, you get Amendola back, these guys are full strength, they're ready to go, Gronk is at full strength, all this stuff, maybe Brady can mitigate that offensive line trouble by getting that ball out in under 2 seconds like he had been earlier in the season. But, like, that's going to depend all on whether Tom Brady has, you know, his receivers, whether Edelman can get open that easily, whether Amendola's got, you know, doesn't have any knee problems and he can get open, and, you know, Gronk is still playing as well as he's playing. So a lot of things to look at coming into next week against the Miami Dolphins. At this point, the Patriots, you know, kind of need to play their guys. They have to go out there. They got to win in order to lock up that home field advantage, you know. In some ways, I think this is actually kind of good. Belichick would probably prefer it this way anyway. He'd probably prefer to play his guys for the entire season. Whoever gets hurt, they get hurt. That's football. We've heard Belichick's, you know, lines in the past. Football players play football. That's how it works. If you're ready to go, you're going to be out there. That's how he operates. So it almost, you know, might be a good thing for Belichick. Now he doesn't have to worry about resting guys. He can just go out, treat it like any other week. You go out, you play, you win the game, you lock up that home field advantage. So, you know, Miami next week, we mentioned it a little bit. You know, they have some playmakers on offense. Tannehill, Lamar Miller, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker. Got some playmakers on defense. And Ndamukong Suh, Olivier Vernon, Brent Grimes. So, this is no gimme by any means. The Dolphins might be in the tank. They might have only scored 12 points against a crappy Indianapolis team today. But, you know, division game in Miami at the end of December, the beginning of January. That's a tough game every year. Every year going to Miami in the winter when it's really hot down there and it's really cold up here, that's always a tough trip. Don't underestimate that aspect of it. Guys could be tired in the heat down there if it's really hot and humid down there. The Dolphins are probably going to be playing out of their minds in this game as the final game of the season, trying to, you know, spoil the Patriots division rival, the Patriots first home field advantage playoff run or whatever. So this is no gimme by any means. Miami is going to come in next week. They're going to be ready to play. Dan Campbell, excuse me. They're going to be ready to play, those guys. We already mentioned they got some real playmakers on both sides of the ball that could make that happen. So a lot of things to look forward to. I'm not sure if I'll be here next week, but someone definitely will be. I've been here every week pretty much, so you could almost bank it that I'll be here. Probably with somebody else this time. Flying solo today, first time. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Before I go, just wanted to remind you guys, I mentioned it a little bit in that last read, but the official CLNS Radio Boston Sports Podcast app is here. Did you know that you can enjoy all of your favorite Boston Sports podcasts from one place on your iPhone or Android? With the exciting news of the CLNS Radio mobile podcast, we have an exciting contest coming up for our listeners. CLNS Radio is giving away 2 tickets to a Celtics game to a lucky fan. And entering is easy. All you have to do, download the new app, give it a rating and a review. That is a rating and a review on both iTunes and or Stitcher. So either one, both would probably give you a better shot. I won't lie. So be sure to go ahead. You can download the app, give it a rating and a review in iTunes, Stitcher, both, whatever you prefer. And that's it. It's that simple. Contest has already started. It started on October 31st. So one of the first 500 fans to meet that above criteria, just like I said, rating, review on iTunes and or Stitcher. CLNS will enter you into the pool and will randomly select someone to win 2 Loge tickets to an upcoming Celtics game. So good luck to everyone, and thanks for making CLNS Radio your home for sports podcasts. To download the CLNS Radio Boston Sports Podcast app, you can go to www.clnsradio.com/iosfree. Or www.clnsradio.com/android. Again, that is the free, official CLNS Radio Boston Sports Podcast app. So be sure to do that as soon as possible. So like I said, you know, another big game next week. Miami, you need the win. You got to play your guys. It's going to be a tough one. Going down into the heat and humidity. Winning a game. Week 17. Man. I really wish you didn't have to play all your guys in this one, but it looks like it's going to have to be that way. Denver can definitely give you a huge boost if they beat Cincinnati, and you know that can almost all but lock it up for you. I believe the Patriots still own most, if not all, tiebreakers over Cincinnati, so that might, you know, if Cincinnati wins, that might not even be a problem, but not entirely sure on that, so don't quote me, but. You know, as always, we'll be here after the game, 1 o'clock game tomorrow, so we'll probably be on here around 4 o'clock, as always. Whether it's me, whether it's anybody else, we'll be here for sure, the CLNS Radio Patriots post-game show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, Patriots fall to the New York Jets 26-20 in overtime. One of the most bizarre calls I've ever seen. At the beginning of overtime, Matthew Slater decides to kick the ball off to the New York Jets, and they promptly drive down the field and score a touchdown to win it. So Patriots fall to 12-3, need a win next week, and we'll be here afterwards for all the breakdowns and analysis following the game in Miami. So until then, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.